Belinda presents this unabridged recording of Recovery, How We Can Create a Better, Brighter Future After a Crisis, written and read by Andrew Weir. In late February 2020, I received a phone call from the chief executive at the City of Melbourne. He was offering me a job leading the organisation's economic development branch. But there was a note of concern in his voice. The World Health Organization had recently declared a public health emergency of international concern. The world had been watching with horror as a novel coronavirus killed thousands of people in Wuhan, China, and now it had begun to spread. The first COVID-19 cases had been confirmed in Australia in the last days of January. A sense of anxious anticipation hung over the metropolis. "This is going to hit the city hard," he said. "Already, with the borders closed to China, two of our biggest industries, international education and tourism, had ground to a halt. That alone would be enough to seriously disrupt our economy, but he warned that there was worse to come. This is like nothing we've experienced before," he said. "We'll have to look back in history to wars and natural disasters to get a sense of how we need to respond." A few weeks earlier, when I had interviewed for the role on a baking hot day, there was no sense of what was to come. The questions I had been peppered with were filled with optimism. How could the city best manage the pressures of population growth? What should we do to shape development in new city precincts? How could we support growth in emerging sectors such as advanced manufacturing and biotechnology? By the time I started my new role, office workers had abandoned the city for dining room tables and hastily assembled home offices. Shortly after, Australian borders shut completely to non-residents, and lockdown restrictions were progressively enacted by the state government. The central business district emptied out, leaving a disconcerting vacuum. "The city feels strange and unfamiliar," Melbourne's Lord Mayor, Sally Capp, said. "The city hasn't been this empty for this long in living memory." In the months that followed, I worked from the granny flat in my backyard, with a team that I had never met in person, using Zoom to support the councillors who were leading the city's recovery. While my children grappled with remote learning, the team and I worked urgently, rolling out whatever support we could for desperate small business owners who had seen their customers disappear or had been forced to shut their doors. If they could survive through lockdown, their employees might just keep their jobs, and the city might rebound once we eventually reach the other side of this thing. Melbourne has been largely successful in containing the virus. While many places around the world have experienced the deaths of tens or hundreds of thousands of people, we have been fortunate to avoid this trauma. Yet, confined to our houses for 112 straight days and allowed a daily maximum of 1 hour outside for exercise within a 5 kilometre radius before the 8 p.m. curfew, much of 2020 was an intense, anxious time. Central Melbourne's economy was hit hard, with output declining by 53% during 2020. Consumed with the present, I gave little further thought to any parallels the COVID-19 pandemic might have had with past crises. Yet it soon became clear that we could not spend all our energy responding to immediate challenges. The pandemic would end at some point, and the city would have a long recovery ahead of it. We would need to plan to ensure activity in Melbourne was able to recover and to grow in the years ahead.